Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Gradient Podcast, our 20th episode. Thank you so much for taking this journey with us, and we can't wait to keep bringing you more content that's even better than before. As always, I'm one third of your hosts, Armand.
I'm Jaden.
And I'm Evan, and this is, as our 20th episode, this is a little bit of a momentous occasion, but, you know, not going to be anything too different for today's episode.
We have this weird idea. We'd release episode 21 first. We do something for episode 20. You know, episode 25 might have come out before episode 20, but we did end up deciding to kind of scrap that. But we definitely do have, you know, some fun ideas planned for what we could do to kind of celebrate, you know, episode 20, episode 25, you know, these kind of occasions. So I would stay tuned for that. If you're watching us or listening to us on our non-YouTube platforms, most likely we're going to be doing something IRL pretty soon. So I would definitely recommend that just checking out our YouTube, subscribing just right off the bat.
Regardless, be tuned because big things are coming for the Gradient Podcast, and we can assure you that things have been in the works for so long. But now we're going to go to the topic of today, which first is the Euros. After a long and hefty tournament between the European International League, the two finalists of the tournament have emerged, Italy and England, and in a hectic match that went to penalty kicks, Italy emerged victorious, and there's been a series of backlash surrounding this victory. Jaden, would you care to explain why?
First thing I just want to start off by saying is it didn't come home. It did not come home at all.
I kid you not, the whole 90 minutes of, like, the preliminary not overtime part, I was screaming after the two-minute goal by Shaw, it's coming home, it's coming home, and it did not, in fact,
come home. But, yeah, so I think you'd probably be better set to explain it, because I'll give you a general idea. So I know that there were a couple of kickers on the team for, I believe, England, right?
Kickers isn't the right word, but they were penalty shooters.
Penalty shooters.
I mean, this kind of shows how much Jaden is knowledgeable about actual real sports in comparison to the esports team.
Kickers in the game of soccer.
An equivalent of calling the penalty shooters kickers would be in Overwatch. You call the people, like the people you're playing with, you call them
players.
Hitters. Or like
players. Basketball that's player.
All right, well, so to get back on track, England and Italy, the score inevitably went out to 1-1, so they had to go into penalty shootouts. My apologies. And of the five shots that the team of England was allowed to take, three of those were missed by black players on the English team, and so which inevitably led them to losing to Italy. This has caused a lot of racial backlash to those three specifically black players.
And, well, to put it into perspective, these players were 19, 21, and 23 respectively. So this was one of, if not their first major tournament. I could be mistaken about that. And on the team, they were the young people on the veterans. So to begin with, putting them on this big stage in like a international tournament, I'd argue the second biggest tournament in soccer under the World Cup, is ridiculously insane for Saka, Rashford, and Sancho as their names. And they were the last three to take it for England. And while England had the lead at first in all three, one of them missed the penalty and two of them got blocked, but they've all been categorized as missed penalties. And then immediately in England, there's been a large response of racial backlash because the two players who made their penalties earlier were white, and the ones that missed it were African English. Is that the term to use?
You could just use black.
Yeah,
honestly.
I think you know, just from the short little summary that you've given me, I see where a racist person would make the assumption that it had to do with the race of the person, but I think any rational, well-abled thinking person, right, would come to the realization that more times than not, this had nothing to do with the race of the person. You mentioned that they were young players. You could maybe attribute it to nerves, the fact that, like you said, they've never been on a stage like this. But I think my take, at least, is that, you know, people who've made the claim that this was because they were black, this was because, you know, the color of their skin, were just people who have inherent bias and racism towards African Americans, black people, just in general.
Amon, can I ask you a quick question? The 19-year-old, what was his name?
His name was Bukayo Saka. That is likely pronounced wrong. I know the last name is Saka.
Yeah, he was the final person to attempt a shootout, correct?
I am not 100% sure of the order. I remember watching it then, but I don't want to put any false information out there. Yeah,
I remember watching that live, and the final kicker, or whatever the official title is, for England, for the fifth and final chance of getting a penalty shot, was like one of their youngest players, and I'm pretty sure it was a 19-year-old. And to be 19, only have been playing at a professional level for so long, to have all that weight on your shoulders, all the nerves completely destroying you mentally. I mean, at that point, race isn't even begin to come into play. I mean, not that it does at all. I make it sound like it does, which it doesn't. But yeah, man, like, I mean, the amount of nerves, just, you know, a young guy, barely been playing professionally, having, you know, all the weight of the world on his shoulders. I mean, that is just a nightmare scenario for anyone, let alone someone as young as he is. So, I mean, that's just something, just a difficult scenario to be in, regardless.
What was the...
So to illustrate the exact situation.
I was going to ask, what was the, you know, what did people say? What was the actual backlash that happened?
So, I guess in bars and on the internet, there was just a uniform idea, like, oh, because these people are black, they missed, or like, I hate them because they're black and they missed their penalties and they lost it for England, right?
Well, racial slurs being used, of course.
Yeah, I believe the slurs were trending on Twitter and like all over the internet, and it prompted a response on social media as well, that like, we shouldn't do that because of their race. Obviously, it's something like that should be obvious, that had to be pointed out on social media by a variety of platforms. It does not need to happen, right? This should be universally known. And to illustrate the situation a little bit further, in the final penalty, it was 3-2 in favor of Italy, which means Italy made three of their penalties and England made two of them. And the last kicker for England was went to take their penalty. And it was a decent penalty shot. It was just blocked, the goalie guessed the right way. Now, I'm going to go through my perspective on this a little bit. And it's a little bit different, but it has the same premise. First of all, I want to preface it with the fact that people, like athletes everywhere, are ridiculed for their underachievements in sports. We made fun of the Seahawks when they decided to pass on the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. Now, I think we can all vouch for that you have the greatest running back in football at the moment, and you pass the ball. It's a bad decision. Earlier in the tournament too, when the supposed greatest best player in the EuroLeague right now, as some would argue, Mbappe, who won the World Cup years back for France, he missed his penalty shot and it lost for France the tournament as well. So I think that it's understandable that these players got ridiculed for missing their penalties, but if to tie it back to the race is inherently wrong, and that's where the toleration should not be crossed.
I mean, I just kind of go back to my point earlier where you think this, you say this because you're racist. This isn't like, you know, only after this you feel this way. I don't think that, you know, I mean, I understand that, you know, people in Europe take their soccer, their kickers very seriously. But even still...
Sorry. Their football, you mean.
Their football. My apologies.
Football.
But I think that even still, you know, basic human decency, understanding just human rights in as a whole, for you to think this and kind of feel this way, it's not something that is going to come from soccer alone, football alone. And if it does, I still think that, you know, it comes down to inherently being racist as a person. Because like I said, any reasonable thinking person is never, ever in 100 years going to come to this conclusion that two people are going to miss field goals simply by the color of their skin. It's not something that makes sense logically. It's almost a scapegoat, if you will, to kind of put the blame onto someone. And it's a mix of it being a scapegoat with, like I said, you know, just the racial beliefs of someone. Yeah.
So, Jaden, this is for you, sort of like a follow-up on that. Since it was so, like, universally at a time, like, argued that, like, oh, I hate them because they miss and they're because of their race and whatnot, do you think that whole body, like, as a whole is just inherently racist, or do you think it was a figment of mob mentality where a few people brought up that idea and it was just followed for the sake of being followed, as a lot of things are in trends and whatnot?
I'm not going to attribute this to mob mentality, because here's how it's going to work. If somebody says, you know, if somebody, the original person who had this idea, said something racist, even if you are going along with the crowd, whatever the crowd happens to be saying, just because everyone else is doing it, it doesn't make you not a racist person, right? It's not mob mentality. Like, we've talked about things like the insurrection, where, you know, maybe not everyone there had the same intent as, you know, the people who threatened to hang Mike Pence. And maybe some, you know, were kind of roped in because of mob mentality. But when it comes to something so basic as understanding human rights, understanding human decency, understanding that we as a world are so successful because of our differences, I think that it's not mob mentality. It is just, if you agree with something like this, regardless of how many people think it, you are part of the problem. You are inherently racist.
I do agree.
Yeah. I mean, I hadn't really followed much of the Euros. The largest significance that has played in my life is that after Italy won, we got pizza. My family, so we're like, oh, Italy won.
What would you have done if England won?
We got pizza, like a chicken popper and meatball sub. This is Italy won. We were like, should we get, you know, a fish and chip or something like that? But like, English food isn't known for its quality. No offense to all our English fans, if we have any. I doubt it.
Hold on, listen.
Hey, if Libyan soccer fans are there, big ups to you guys.
All the Libyan fans. So to explain what exactly that means, we were notified that the Gradient Podcast, us truly, your favorite podcast, I'm sure, to our dear listeners, was ranked as the number one listened to podcast, news and commentary podcast in Libya, the number two news podcast in Libya. I believe it was the 69th ranked.
Yes, 69th podcast overall.
Overall. Which... all in Libya. To us, this was very surprising. Of course, Libya was not somewhere where we believed our podcast would have any popularity, let alone be as high ranked as it is.
My target demographic are those Libyans. Big up to you, folks.
Yeah, big up to our Libyan fans. I mean, if I had to hypothesize, assume, suppose, my best guess is that this is someone using a VPN. And so it just kind of happens to be that, you know, people in Libya, not much of a podcast listener. So someone used to VPN, put their IP in Libya, and it just happened to listen to our podcast during that period. So that's my best assumption. But I mean, you know, it's fun to think that.
This is something I've always kind of wanted to talk about on the podcast. But yeah, like I said, we were notified of this. It's very cool. Big ups, like Armand said, to not just people in Libya, but, you know, all of our international fans. This is the first time we've kind of ever discussed, you know, the demographics of our listeners before, but I actually just pulled it up. So 96% of the people who listen to our podcast are from the United States. We have people in Florida, Washington, Ohio, Texas, Virginia, Alabama, Pennsylvania, California, Tennessee, Georgia, Wisconsin, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Illinois, Michigan, Louisiana, and New York. So first of all, that's...
You really just listed a bunch of states.
I have it right here. That's awesome. Really cool that, you know, we've kind of gone so far. But if we go back to just overall, we have people in Argentina, people in Germany. We've already mentioned our German fans before. They've played a pivotal role to where we are now. Ireland.
Automated.
Yeah, Libya, Singapore, Jamaica, and Kuwait. So a bunch of countries just outside of the U.S. It's really awesome that, you know, what we're saying is being spread to hopefully teens across the globe and just being heard across the globe. I love what we do. I'm sure you two also love what we do. And it just makes me really happy. And I'm sure it makes you two really happy to, you know, see that this isn't just something, you know, in our local neighborhood that, you know, people across the globe are interested.
right? And none of the countries you listed were missed any penalties in the Euro finals. So, Argentina on the other
Argentina
hand,
though, yeah, but I was about to mention
they won the Copas. That was another exciting game because at the same time as the European International Soccer Championship, the Copa Americas, which were the Middle America and South America to league or not league international countries, had their tournament almost simultaneously. Where I think the final of the Copas happened the day before of the Euros, or the day after. I could have gotten misconstrued, but I know they were very close to each other. And in that one, Argentina beat Brazil. And a little joke that's been going around the internet is on the Paris League team, which is a club team in Paris. Lionel Messi is on that team, and he obviously won the Copas. Two players from the Italy national team won, and they won the Euros. And Neymar's on the team, and he lost in the finals to the Copas. So it's a little joke going around TikTok right now, where it's like the whole team is together, and they're all celebrating winning their like specific international tournaments. Meanwhile, Neymar's kind of just like, all right.
Neymar's just the guy in the corner on the party on his phone, just scrolling. You know, just doesn't want to look at anyone. Yeah, but interestingly about Argentina winning the Copas is that this is Messi's, I believe, first international victory with Argentina, and so that was a pretty big deal for him. Someone who's been such one of if not the largest stars of the game of soccer, football, whatever you refer to it as, you know, arguably the face of the sport. This was his first international victory with his home country.
In fact, Messi didn't play for Paris. It was Di Maria, another Argentinian player.
Mm-hmm.
Got it mixed up. My bad.
Yeah, but it's interesting that, you know, Lionel Messi, one of if not the largest faces of the sport, has just now, after his illustrious career, clinched an international title, which is so very, very, very good for him. I'm sure he's elated as anyone else would be. But just a little fun fact for Argentina winning.
So moving on a little bit from the world of football, one thing we wanted to talk about, you know, we've kind of been, I don't want to say milking, you know, vaccines and milking the coronavirus, because really what else is going on right now? But
bats can't be milked.
There is still a lot to talk about on this issue. And one of the things we wanted to talk about was actually one of the ways that the White House has been trying to, you know, push younger people to get vaccinated. And I think Armand was talking about this earlier, and I think you said it best. So why don't you explain just exactly who they decided to bring?
So in hopes of appealing to younger voters or younger citizens in the United States or individuals in the United States in order to promote the idea of getting vaccinated, the United States government got famous singer and former actor Olivia Rodrigo, who's famous for her few songs Driver's License and Good For You, to go to the White House press secretary room and give a quick statement on why everyone should get vaccinated. And I think she also met with Dr. Fauci and President Biden to discuss and document some of the reasons why people should get vaccinated in hopes of appealing to a younger demographic. And it prompted some concerns in her qualifications and if this was advantageous of the U.S. to go this route, because I guess the idea was if the doctors, numerous doctors they've had, aren't convincing the target demographic, maybe someone that they idolize will, right?
Yeah, I'll explain a little bit of the White House's thought process. Their strategy for vaccination recently has kind of shifted towards trying to appeal to anyone who's unvaccinated, because the vaccinated people, they don't have to worry about it, right? But specifically just focusing on how can we make vaccines appeal to unvaccinated people. And kind of for that effort, it's not really as talked about as much, but it was beyond just Olivia Rodrigo, right, going to the White House. They've reached out to YouTube stars. I'm not sure if people have seen it, but on YouTube, they now have pages where different YouTubers are going to be talking with experts about the vaccine. The same thing on different platforms such as Twitter, such as Instagram. And yeah, they've been talking to YouTube stars, social media influencers to try and appeal to this specific demographic. of young adults who are healthy, because historically, these young adults have been hard to reach because their thought process kind of is, I'm young, I'm healthy. You know, when we started the pandemic, people were told it's definitely something that affects older people more. Younger people don't seem to be as at risk. And that's kind of played out now to when we have a solution to the pandemic. We have a solution to prevent people from getting severely sick with the disease. But again, these healthy young adults are choosing not to get vaccinated, most likely for the reason that they feel that they are healthy and don't actually need to be vaccinated. And, you know, all three of us are vaccinated, so I kind of want to hear your opinions on this.
I actually just got my second vaccine just a few days ago. It was on Monday that I did. My arm was really sore from it. But I think the real thing that tipped me over the edge is when I saw Bryce Hall speak with people. I'm really kidding. I just was a little bit late to get it for some medical reasons. But I do think it's a good strategy, because I guess the younger population have like this conform idea that, there's like a 99.999 whatever percent that I'll be okay, nothing will happen, and it might be better for me to not get the vaccine and don't risk the side effects, right? Get the vaccine. It's you're being considerate to other people, to the older demographics. You might be carriers for them. It's less for you. It's more for the entirety of the population as a whole, so we can go back to normal society. And that's been the uniform idea throughout since the vaccine just started being a mainstay in the U.S. where it was, you got to get vaccinated so you can help everyone get back to normal. But that idea that it might not be necessary for some people is inherently flawed, because it might not be helpful to you, but you're still playing a part towards bringing everyone together, right?
Yeah, I mean, not to dwell on it too much, I mean, because it's something we talked about a lot, but getting the vaccine isn't a difficult nor arduous process. It's 15, 20 minutes out of your day, twice. Yeah, right? Run over to a CVS, get it. It's free. Like,
they haven't. I think real quickly, we said run over to CVS, but one of the things that, you know, the country has been good with is making these vaccines available. They are at CVS, they're at Publix, they're at Walmart, right? And Walmarts are everywhere. There's bound to be a vaccine literally everywhere near you. And stuff, right? Yeah.
And they give you like cool stickers and lollipops after, like,
Some states are providing incentives for getting it. I mean, there was the whole Krispy Kreme donut where you get a free donut, Krispy Kreme.
I heard about that.
Yeah, I believe, I honestly was like Oregon or something. I don't remember the exact state, but some state was like giving out like a six pack of beer.
Yeah, one state had a lottery where if you got vaccinated, your name got entered and you could win money.
Yeah, so I mean, depending on what state you're in, you know, you could also have an incentive to getting it. So, you know, just, you know, take a look at,
that's,
you know,
why
whatever your local government's doing.
That's why the Gradient Podcast is instating a join us as a host lottery for all our vaccinated viewers.
No. We have no funds for that. Please don't. Don't.
No. I mean, there are a lot of good reasons to get the vaccine, right? But regardless of any incentives that people provide you, I think not only getting the vaccine to keep yourself safe, but keeping your loved ones safe, keeping your family safe, allowing us to get back to normal where, you know, you can see your grandparents, you can see people that you haven't seen in a long time that you have to stay away from, you know, to kind of be precautious, where it's more than just getting Krispy Kreme donuts, getting the lollipops, which I did not get, getting your name into a lottery.
What's the point of the vaccine? Right.
No, I want my lollipop. All right, I don't care about these old people. Give me my lollipop. I demand it. Nah.
I think we're like steering a little bit more towards our old vaccine episodes and COVID episodes, but we want to go back to the U.S. strategy to get these, I guess, icons of the younger generation to try and promote the idea of getting your vaccine. So, do you guys think it would have been more beneficial to have another doctor like Dr. Fauci or another like credited doctor in the vaccine COVID process to speak opposed to Olivia Rodrigo?
I mean, at this point, the American people have heard plenty of doctors tell them plenty of times to get the vaccine. Another doctor would have been nothing new. Of course, you know, they have the credentials, but I mean, relying on celebrities to spread a message has been shown to be largely effective for the most part. Taylor Swift had a whole, you know, registered a vote campaign that did wonders for getting young people registered.
Lin-Manuel, I mean, like, Miranda had the same thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, relying on celebrities to for political aid is not anything new, nor is it ineffective. It's a very effective strategy when used correctly. And so I think the only main concern is that, like, Olivia Rodrigo fans, they're more of the ages of like 15 to 19, I would say, roughly. I mean, I'm not a marketing strategist for Olivia Rodrigo. I can't say the specifics, but I had to reasonably assume it'd be like that kind of demographic. And so I'm not really sure exactly what the vaccination numbers are looking at for that age group. I'm pretty sure they're actually fairly high from what I've last seen. But I mean, like, honestly, my biggest takeaway from this, the pictures are funny. You know, seeing Olivia Rodrigo in, like, the press secretary, you know, podium, I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. I want to add real quick that, like Evan said, celebrities have been used for, like, political activism for a little bit. And it's not just in politics. It's the same thing for, like, high-level business as well. You see LeBron James is like the guy for on the Sprite commercials all the time. You have Shaq as the general insurance guy in the car in those commercials, and you have Terry Crews as the Gradient spokesperson. And it's just become so common and so effective that when the government does it, the similarities are very true and very strong. But on the other note, it is kind of like, she's giving us all this information like she's an expert, right? Yeah. And she spoke very well about it, but that's where the comedic relief is coming from in that instance.
Vaccines,
right?
Are good for you. But
God, that joke was brutal.
But I think it was effective, right? Definitely. I don't think having more doctors would have done anything. Like Evan said, we're so far into this that you've heard doctors say it all. You've heard doctors say it multiple times, back to back to back. The U.S. government is specifically trying to appeal to people under the age of 27. I do think that, you know, Olivia Rodrigo may not be the right person for that because, as, you know, Evan pointed out, her following is probably younger than this demographic that they're looking for. But I definitely think, you know, the idea of getting, I take it as an endorsement, right? Celebrity endorsements for anything, products, whatever it is, have always been generally effective. And I don't think, you know, there's any reason to believe that now is going to be any different, right? But I definitely do think that you can't kind of stop at Olivia Rodrigo. You kind of have to continue at it if you really want to, you know, convince people to do it, because it's definitely going to happen in waves. And as long as they keep at it with different celebrities, different social media influencers, YouTube stars like they've done, I think they should get the results that they want.
So who would you two like to see in the White House press secretary room giving a speech about why you should get the vaccine? What celebrity? Let's keep going with this.
I think you want to find someone that's relevant now, right? And the first thing that comes to mind for me has got to be something from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I think either you're going to hate me for this, right? But either the actor that plays Black Widow or the actor that plays Loki.
How do you not know?
Yeah. I said you would hate me for it, okay? But them. Tom Hiddleston, Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, this guy.
Tom Hiddleston I like.
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, any of those actors, you know, Robert Downey Jr.
Have you guys seen episode 6 of his show, by the way?
I haven't watched Loki. I'm behind on this. Yeah, but, like, I think any of the MCU actors, you know, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pratt, all the Chrises. honestly, like, Tom Hiddleston, Scarlett Johansson, any of them would work wonders. Maybe not Chris Pratt. People don't tend to be huge fans of his for whatever reason.
Because actively and like openly Republican, and that's
why. Yeah. But yeah, like, I guess besides Chris Pratt, any of them would kind of work.
All the Chrises except for Pratt.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I mean, yeah, like Chris Hemsworth or Chris Evans, definitely Robert Downey Jr. I think would probably be the best fit. He seems like everyone loves that guy. So I don't know. I mean, I think if we're talking about like most effective, it's gonna be them.
Go a different route. Jaden said MCU people. Give it a different one, and I'll go.
Jennifer Lawrence. That's my first. Or like Ryan Reynolds. People love Ryan Reynolds.
That in his Deadpool costume.
Yeah.
I don't know about the Deadpool costume. Maybe. Well, you said to stray away from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and here you are.
Really?
Putting words in my mouth. Deadpool.
Rick and Morty's been. I think for their new season, they've had advertising everywhere. Right. I don't think a vaccine campaign should be any different.
So, you all are very much wrong about who should be the spokesperson, right? You need the three members of the Blue Man Group to do a routine in the White House secretary room. And then end it with just a bunch of vaccine being thrown on the audience.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, it's just like their usual act, but instead of like those paddles, just needles. Gosh.
I mean,
how amazing would that be?
That'd be ridiculous. Absurd. Just like your humor.
I haven't seen the Blue Man Group in a while, honestly. I think the last time I was in Boston, I saw them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like...
I've never seen a show.
But yeah.
Do you think they're blue outside of the shows, too?
No, they're not blue outside of the shows.
They're not naturally blue men.
You think Scarlett Johansson walks around in black spandex 24/7?
Do you think Chris Hemsworth can actually shoot lightning bolts out of his hands?
You think Ryan Reynolds is that sarcastic IRL? No,
probably. Probably.
But even still, the campaign, I think, is going to be effective. Right? It's been effective. Things of its kind have been effective in the past, and I don't think we have any reason, you know, to believe otherwise. Like I said. And, you know, we all had good ideas of who the White House should bring to promote vaccines.
I have a new one.
In reality, they're all bad ideas. Just have them call us.
No, this is a good one.
What's your idea?
I think, like, you know how Stan Lee makes cameos in, like, every MCU movie? I think you should have Dr. Fauci make cameos in a bunch of random, like, movies and TV shows and just... vaccine card or like syringe.
Do you know how
in his hand.
Poorly that would date a movie?
a big plot moment's happening and Fauci's just in the back. Get vaccinated.
I'm sure Quentin Tarantino can work it in wonders and Inglourious Basterds somehow.
just cutting the Nazi scope off. And it's like, by the way, get your vaccine.
The corner of like Brad Pitt's shoulder holding up a vaccine card.
Good talk. Yeah, I think if Fauci made a cameo in Django Unchained, it would fit right in.
Malfoy buys his drugs in The Wolf of Wall Street from Fauci, and it ends up being more vaccine.
This is absurd.
I mean, these are all good ideas, but like I said, there's only one. Good idea. One thing that's gonna work.
Thanos snaps his fingers, and everyone half.
Oh my gosh, he's still going.
But no. Listen, the White House, have them call us. Our emails in our Twitter bio. They know who to call, right? Now, listen, we will get so many American teens, American people under 27 vaccinated. We'll call our friends in Libya, Argentina, Kuwait. We got everyone. Okay, we got everyone. Trust me.
Just reads the whole list again.
Entire population of Libya is vaccinated. Call us and all of Libya is completely vaccinated.
Sure. And
that's a gradient guarantee.
Oh, no.
But, I mean, what else is there really to say about this topic, though? I mean, it's a weird decision.
I do have one more comment. Jaden, your Olivia Rodrigo jokes, they gave me a sour taste in my mouth.
Listen, that was actually on a news article itself, right? I'm pretty sure the slogan they used was "Get vaccines, they're good for you." I've never listened to the song. I've never heard the song.
I think that's clever. I like it.
What other clever puns can we make?
No, please, no more, no more, no more Olivia Rodrigo jokes.
Let's pull up the album real quick.
Song by song.
With this one, okay, will this one work?
Sword and three stabs back. Two CBS. I don't think that was the right words, but I think it's like one step. Who knows?
here's the album. Sour.
No. We're not going through all our songs.
Vaccines are not brutal. One. Right.
I think our time would be better set figuring out Fauci cameos.
This has gone completely off the rails. Well, I gotta try and piece.
Hold on, here's just one. Okay, enough of you. But if you're a vaccine, you can come over. There you go. That's all they need.
So now that all three of us are vaccinated and the you know COVID-19 is hopefully starting to wane, we've heard we've heard some reports that aren't too optimistic, but you know now that COVID-19 is hopefully waning, we're all three of us are vaccinated. Maybe we can start looking forward to in-person recordings. I mean that's going to be an exciting venture. Hopefully that we can. Set out on originally the Idea First podcast was not to be recorded virtually. It was intended to be a in-person podcast. Of course, with COVID, that was infeasible. But now that we're getting back to normal, it's going to be an exciting thing to look forward to is being able to record in person again, or like, not again, but for the first time.
I mean, yeah, we actually really haven't recorded in person. I think it's going to happen. We've been planning for it for so long. You know, there's still a couple things we need to iron out, get done, finish, buy, purchase. But even before we can actually, formally record an episode together, I think there is still IRL content that you can expect because we have a lot of ideas, episode 20, episode 25, whatever milestone we want to set. There are things coming, like Armand said at the beginning. And the only, real way to stay up to date with it is follow us on YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed because a lot of the video things kind of have to happen there. Make sure if you're listening to us on any of our platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, make sure you follow us there. Make sure you check out our Instagram at Gradient Podcast, at Gradient.podcast, our Twitter at Gradient.podcast, and our what I think is an imaginary Facebook at GradPod. With all that said,
it technically exists.
The subreddit.
One of our socials.
What's our other social?
No, our Connect You Libya account. Libya Connect.
No. Listen, what?
Actually, there actually is one more. The Gradient Podcast subreddit.
Yeah, that's true. I've yet to look. I've yet this. It's blowing up.
Still,
just trust
I believe
me.
Has yet
it
to
is,
have
it
any.
It is blowing up. Trust me. We just haven't looked. But there is actually one more social, right? If you're watching the podcast, you enjoy it. It really, really, really does help us out to tell your friends, just to let people know. Share it with others. I mean, the best marketing and best advertising is always going to be word by mouth. Just let people know we love new fans. We love bringing them on. We love getting, to talk to them and engage to them all the time. But there's just so many ways to support us, so many good things to look forward to. A lot of big things are going to be happening soon.
So as always, I'm Armand.
I'm Jaden.
And I'm Evan. Thank you for listening to what is the 20th episode of our podcast. And we'll see you next time for episode 21.
Thank you so much for watching.